Neve Solicitors are proud to sponsor The Parent Show. The friendly team at Neve's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neve Solicitors, your complete legal solution.
A very warm welcome to The Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury. And tonight we're having a very special show on, as it's Climate Week this week, for those of you who don't know. And on The Parents Show, we thought that's a perfect opportunity to tell us what, or get the best people on to talk to us about what parents can do on a day-to-day basis to help the climate and to reduce our carbon emissions. So for this special green edition of The Parent Show, I'm joined by a local mum, Catherine Ross, who is part of Transition Street, and she's sitting right next to me. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Thank you very much for joining us this evening. And we've also got a wide variety of guests from the local community to touch on every aspect of reducing your carbon emissions. So after we have a little chat with Catherine from Transition Streets, we'll be speaking to Amanda Yeoworth from Friends of the Earth, and she's going to speak to us about why the world would be a better place if we ate less meat. So that should be very interesting. Then we're going to speak to local businesswoman Heather Foster, and if any of you have been driving around the Oaklands area, you'll see a lovely new restaurant there called The Green Kitchen, and she's running that. She set it up, and she's also brought us some lovely goodies here this evening, which we'll be putting on Facebook to make you all jealous. And then we'll be followed by Louise Palmer, who is from St Albans District Council, and she's in charge of waste services there, so she'll be able to tell us about what services are available to us. And finally, later on the show, we're going to talk to Katie Carr. She's from TommyandLottie.com, which provides sustainable clothing, and it's an award-winning local brand. So we have so much on our doorstep, we didn't have to go outside West Hertfordshire to find anybody to speak to us on this topic. So let's start our green journey by talking to Catherine from Transition Streets. How are you, Catherine?
Very good, thank you.
Is your mouth watering with those lovely treats?
It is. I'm hoping we get to share them in a minute.
Me too. We'll have a word with Heather afterwards. Now, some of our listeners mightn't have heard of Transition Streets or Transition St Albans. Tell us in a nutshell what it's about, Catherine.
Well, Transition St Albans, we're a local community group, and we're trying to make St Albans a more environmentally friendly place to live. So we do lots of things to try and encourage that. We try and get people involved in growing more food locally and producing more energy locally, and also making changes around their house which will make their homes more energy efficient and cut their carbon footprint. And Transition St Albans is just one of about 1,000 transition towns all around the world which have been set up locally by local communities as a really positive response to climate change.
It sounds great, and I think with the kind of erratic weather patterns that we're all seeing, I think the kind of climate change deniers are becoming fewer and fewer in numbers, aren't
they? Yes, and when you look at polls of scientists, I think it's 97% of scientists that are saying that man-made climate change is real, so
it's coming more
to the front of our minds, I think.
Yeah, I think, and the quicker we can do something about it, the better. And I think St Albans is a very kind of dynamic society. I think we're great at recycling. We'll get the facts off Louise Palmer in just a bit. So it should be a good place. I'm sure our listeners are very interested to find out what they can do. So can you tell us the kind of things that the parents can be focusing on to reduce their carbon footprint?
Yeah, well, I think the thing to do is to focus on the big ticket items. So for a typical family here in the UK, the biggest contributors of a family's carbon footprint will be if they fly on holiday, especially if they're flying long haul, and it'll then be the petrol that they're using to drive around, then heating and powering their home, and the production of the food that they eat. And then, of course, as parents, there's also all the stuff that we buy, all the toys and the prams and the clothes, and some of it perhaps is less necessary than others. I think it's really easy to get caught up on details and start worrying about, should I be drying my hand in the hand dryer or using paper towels, or to worry about every individual plastic bag. But actually, if listeners really want to cut the amount of carbon their family uses, they should focus on big items like transport, home energy, food and shopping. And since next week is Climate Week, it would be brilliant if each of your listeners could pick something and change it to a more sustainable option.
And the great thing about what you're saying is you don't need to change everything, but it's a good idea to pick one, focus on one, and then work your way through the list, isn't it? That's a more realistic approach.
Absolutely. It can be overwhelming if you try and worry about everything at once, and we're all busy parents and trying to juggle work and home and everything. I think if you just try and pick one thing and say, okay, next week I'm going to try and make that one thing more sustainable, and then do that for a while and get used to it, and then when you feel ready, say, right, I'm going to change one more thing, and just keep going with that process.
It makes complete sense. I mean, I think the holiday one is a bit of a tricky one. I think I'd rather be heating my house 2 degrees lower all the way through the year than, or through the winter, than forgoing a holiday. But you're not talking about forgoing, you're just thinking about thinking it through. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's just, so if you go, there's lots of carbon footprint calculators people can use online, and you can go in and you can put in what your family does on a day-to-day basis, and it'll tell you roughly what your carbon footprint is. And the biggest single thing is if you've done a long flight as a family. So it's just, nobody's going to give up all their holidays, but if you're sitting there planning your holidays for the year, thinking, well, instead of that long haul one, could we do short haul, or instead of short haul, could we stay in the UK, or you can do some fabulous holidays by train, especially if you turn a little bit older, and just being conscious of the carbon impact of the flights that you make when you book those holidays.
Yeah, makes a lot of sense. Now, we'll take a little break, and when we come back, we're going to have a chat with you, Catherine, and with Amanda Yorworth about meat, because that has quite a big role to play, doesn't it, in carbon emissions?
It does, especially red meat.
Uh-huh. Okay. All you hamburger eaters out there, listen up. We'll be back in just a second. Welcome back to the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. Now, next week is Climate Week, so the whole Parents Show is dedicated to how we can reduce our carbon emissions. Now, we're joined by Amanda Yorworth, who's from the St. Albans Friends of the Earth. And Amanda's going to talk to us about why we shouldn't eat meat on a Monday. You probably know Amanda from the Environment Show on Radio Verulam. She's one of ours. She's a veggie. Busy mom, and she knows how to cook great veggie food for kids. So thank you very much for joining us this evening, Amanda.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting us, Lucy.
Did you cook a nice veggie meal this evening?
Oh, I did, yes.
What did you cook?
Oh, well, we had pasta with white kidney beans with lots of mushrooms and basil and garlic.
And I say, I bet you know the reason why you put white kidney beans in, right? There's a good reason.
Well, I don't, it's just one of those things, you know, the Italians seem to like that sort of thing. They've married those two together for a long time, and it just works nicely.
Sounds lovely. So listen, tell us, why does meat matter? Why?
Oh, legit, it matters for lots of reasons. And you know, the more I listen to scientists, for example, the more I realise how important these things are. Now, for start, 18% of our greenhouse gases are estimated to come from meat. Now, obviously, carbon dioxide is an important greenhouse gas, but also there are other really powerful greenhouse gases that animals are associated with. So the animals produce vast amounts of methane. We know about that. That's all about the burping and the farting. So about 50%, and methane is about 50 times as strong a greenhouse gas as carbon dioxide is. And then also there's nitrous oxide, another important greenhouse gas. That's about 300 times more greenhouse gassy, I'm not quite sure how you say that, than carbon dioxide. Both of those gases, lots of them come from the production of animals for meat. So we've got the carbon dioxide, and we've got those two important greenhouse gases as well. Not just that, but also you need about 10 times as much land to produce the same amount of food, sort of calorie for calorie, if you're going to produce meat rather than vegetarian sources. So that means to feed the same amount of people, you need 10 times as much land if they eat meat. Now, with a growing population, a growing global population, that means that our only options are to start doing things like cutting down rainforests, draining swamps, which are really fabulous habitats. It's really putting a massive amount of pressure on very vulnerable parts of the world. So the more people who eat meat, the more vulnerable our precious wildlife habitats are. So eating less meat makes it easier for us to feed a growing population, and it also increases our chances of saving important places like rainforests. And then there's other very simple things like meat production uses enormous amounts of water. And in lots of parts of the world where our meat comes from, actually water is an important resource. So lots of reasons there why eating meat is not a good thing, really.
Yeah, that seems pretty clear and it seems pretty unequivocal. Now, what about fish?
Well, fish doesn't have the greenhouse gas problems. That's more the sustainability. You know, the old, there's plenty more fish in the sea. Unfortunately, not quite as many as we'd like. So fish, again, it's a matter of keeping it to a minimum and also looking out for sustainably caught fish. So looking out for that MSC, Marine Stewardship Council, looking out for that label, which will assure you that the fish is from sustainable sources.
Right.
If I could just mention also that eating farmed fish, unfortunately, doesn't mean that your fish is more sustainable, because farmed fish is usually fed with wild fish. And it takes about 10 tons of farmed fish to produce, of wild fish to produce 1 ton of farmed fish. So
how does that make sense?
Well, the fish that is fed to the farmed fish isn't the kind of thing that we'd eat. Often it's very little things like sand eels that we wouldn't find palatable. So that's the sort of sense. But you say calorie for calorie, you know, we're in one world. No, it doesn't make sense, really.
So MSC to look out for.
That's right, yeah.
On your packaging, yeah. And don't assume because it's farmed that it is sustainable.
That's right, indeed. Things like mussels, for example, they're a great thing if you're looking for a sustainable thing. They're usually rope grown sustainably in places like Scotland. So and actually, where you have mussels growing, you have to have lovely clean seawater. So it's a great incentive to keep the environment good as well. So yeah, if you're looking for a sustainable seafood, then go for mussels.
Brilliant. That's a great tip. It happens. I like them. So that's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
So tell us what the Meat Free Monday campaign is about.
Okay. Well, so this is a campaign which was started by the McCartneys, famous vegetarians. But actually, there are lots of famous vegetarians. If you have a look on their website, you'll see that they've got lots of celebrity followers there. And the idea really is that, okay, a seventh of us could go vegetarian and then we'd reduce the amount of meat everybody eats by a seventh. Or actually, it would be easier if we all just gave up meat for one day a week. And, you know, why don't we make that Monday? So that's the idea. Just stop eating meat for one day a week and give the planet a break.
I mean, do you think that is an effort for most people? I mean, I would say that most people probably eat veggie a couple of days a week anyway.
You'd be surprised, Lydia.
Really?
Would be surprised. There are some people for whom they struggle to have, they don't think it's a meal unless it's got meat involved in it. There are plenty of very easy meals that, you know, very common meals that don't have meat in. I mean, let's face it, just having beans on toast, they don't get any easier than that. There's
yeah.
a great, that's vegan, that is. So yeah, there are easy meals out there that you know, we'd all find quite palatable, but for some people, that it is a bit of a shift in mindset.
Right, right. And tell us, why would listeners sign up for this campaign for the Meat Free Monday? Should they sign up or should they just do it?
I think it is important to sign up, because we need to show that it's something that matters, something that we are willing to put effort in. You know, we're not waiting for politicians or companies to do something about something that matters enough to us, and we feel empowered to do it. So yes, sign up and show your support. And then also there's lots of good tips there. You know, it's a helpful place as well.
It strikes me that schools would be a great place to get on board with this. Like school dinners, having meat-free Mondays would be a great step. I mean, my son came home today, he did jack a potato with loads of vegetables today.
Yeah.
He picked the veggie option.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
If we don't that's a significant place to start.
I think it is, and there's a few points here. I think yes, that there are some schools who are doing Meat Free Monday, and if you look on the Meat Free Monday website, there's a whole section there devoted to schools. How, you know, if you're a pupil or if you're a dinner lady or if you're a teacher or a parent, what you can do to get your school going meat free on Monday, and lots of advice about how that can happen. But the other thing is that my daughter's vegetarian, and she says very often she'll get to the counter at school and she'll find that the vegetarian option is all gone because the other kids like it. And I say to her, you have to say something about that, because actually it would be good for the school for the caterers to appreciate how popular the vegetarian food is.
And I'd say they'd be delighted, because I'm sure it's a lot cheaper to provide vegetarian meals than it is to provide a meat option.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's funny. It just it takes a bit of thinking through, and it just takes a bit of effort, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, I suppose traditionally, you know, here in England, a lot of us have been brought up eating meat, you know, the old meat and two veg thing. But, you know, we're becoming a lot more diverse in the ways that we eat. You know, you think of a lot of the Indian food or Italian food, a lot of that has no meat in it. Yeah. And we enjoy both of those cuisines. So there's plenty of food that we enjoy that has no meat in it. Just making a switch on a few days a week makes a big difference.
Yeah, fantastic. Amanda, thanks so much for joining us on the show
problems.
This evening. Now, Catherine, you've tried to reduce the amount of meat you eat at home as well.
Yes, we didn't do it all at once. We started with a day a week and we really enjoyed it, so it's built from there. I think it's easy to think the world's divided into vegetarians and meat eaters, and really it's a spectrum, from people who eat vegetarian all the time to people who meat all the time and everything in between. My kids are really positive about eating more vegetarian food, especially my eldest, who now doesn't eat meat at all, and I found it made me go out and actively look for some new recipes, and I really enjoyed that.
And tell us some of the recipes that you've telling me your veggie alternatives.
Well, for the kids, when you stop and think about it, a lot of the food they eat is vegetarian anyway. So for the kids, you know, there's lots of pizza margarita and pasta with pesto and jack of potatoes and cheese and things like that. We have replaced, so instead of mince, I get veggie mince, and instead of sausages, I get veggie sausages. But really, those are the only things where I regularly use substitutes with the kids cooking. And then for my husband and I, we've been learning a lot more about how to cook curry and just how to be more... to find really interesting vegetarian options.
Great. And Amanda, can I just bring you back in here? Can you tell us a couple of your favourite veggie recipes?
Or my personal favourite one, chickpea curry.
Ooh.
Oh, just lovely. Some delicious chana masala, really very easy to make, loveliness, and actually really good punchy on flavour, and I find that the men like that, so they might be slightly reluctant vegetarians. You get some good spices in there and you'll soon win them round. So that's a favourite. And then, oh, what else would I say? Do you know, I think actually we like our vegetarian sausages, roasted vegetables, vegetarian sausages. They're so good, you really would not, you know, they're as good as the real thing. Let's call it the real thing, but yeah, very good.
And you said at the beginning, for the hamburger lovers listening in, so we've replaced having hamburgers with having, you bake the big mushrooms, the portobello mushrooms, you bake those in the oven with some blue cheese on the top. And if you put those in a burger bun, they're absolutely delicious. And you don't get to the end and wish you'd had meat.
That's fantastic.
That's true. I'd agree with that, actually. And that's, we love those as well. Good tip.
Great stuff. Thank you so much, Amanda, for joining us. And are Friends of the Earth are big proponents of the Meat Free Monday? Yeah.
But yeah, very much so. Meat Free Monday. And the other thing we have is Meat Free May. We're promoting Meat Free May. And with the idea that actually, you know, if you can go without meat for 1 month, then, you know, who knows, you might how long you might manage it. And also, you know, if you actually sort of say, no, I'm going to go meat-free for May, and, you know, you tell your friends, and so they'll, you know, be interested in what you're doing, etc. We've got lots of tips on the website, etc. You know, just a start to a change.
Yeah, but that's great, because you'd break the back of it then, wouldn't you? I mean, if you're just doing it once a week, the danger is you might end up making the same chickpea curry every Monday.
Yes.
But if you were doing it for a whole month, you'd have to innovate and, you know, find new recipes.
Yep.
It'd push you.
Yeah.
Even if you only did half of it, it'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
so is that is there information about that on the Friends of the Earth website?
It will be very shortly, yes, indeed.
Great. Brilliant. Great stuff. Thanks a million, Amanda.
No problems. Thanks, Lydia.
Right, coming up in just a few minutes, we're going to have Heather, who is from the Green Kitchen. It's a new vegetarian restaurant that has opened in St. Albans. So stay tuned.
Welcome back to this special green edition of the Parents Show in the run-up to Climate Week next week. We're joined now by Heather from the Green Kitchen. Heather, welcome to the Parents Show.
Hello.
And thank you very much for bringing us in those delicious-looking cakes.
Well, I hope you enjoy them.
And it looks like you've brought some vegetarian snacks in as well.
Yes, so I've got one selection is healthy and one not so healthy, more as a special treat.
Ah, so they'll balance out. So congratulations on opening the Green Kitchen. It's filling a real gap in the market here in St Albans, isn't it? What made you want to open a vegetarian cafe?
It's something I've been interested in for a long time. There's nowhere really to go and get a decent vegetarian meal or vegan meal, in my opinion, in St Albans. And I've got two children. It's quite tricky sometimes trying to find something to please the three of us. And the opportunity came up last October, so I thought, right, let's go for it.
Brilliant. And how's it going so far?
Yeah, it's really, really good. October is fantastic. November and December, a little bit quieter. And January, I think everywhere's quite quiet in January, but it's picking up again now. And some really very, very busy days and lots of repeat customers, which is really good.
Oh, brilliant. That's a good sign. So we've just been talking to Amanda about the Meat Free Monday campaign. If our listeners are feeling inspired and want to cook a few more veggie meals at home, can you give them some tips? Let's start with what kind of veggie meals do you find work well with kids?
Pasta and pesto, like your previous lady said. Wraps are always popular. Children like wrapping things up, so sort of wheat tortillas or corn tortillas, vegetables, salad, things that they enjoy, things with lots of flavour, always are good.
Cool. And for busy parents, I'm sure a lot of the people listening are juggling work and getting through the door and trying to get tea on the table. For busy parents, can you give us some examples of really easy meals to prepare?
I'd recommend like a good tomato sauce, because nearly all children enjoy that. And you can make that in batches and freeze it and then get it out to defrost in the morning, ready for the evening meal, and mix that with various vegetables, beans. Then you can add rice to it or couscous. Noodles, really whatever the family enjoys.
So you can use the same base sauce in lots of ways?
Yes, again with lots of flavourings, either garlic, herbs, spices, you know, vary. You can even vary it to different members of the family. I often end up cooking two or three meals to please everybody.
Do you use meat substitutes like vegetarian sausages and mince, because sometimes those can lack a bit of flavour and texture, can't they? How do you make vegetarian food just as tasty as meat?
Again, I think it comes back to flavourings, and using a sort of good quality oil often helps with that sort of mouthfeel. Olive oil, coconut oil is becoming very easily available now. That's useful and nutritious. So it's just thinking ahead and looking for unusual recipes, perhaps being a bit more adventurous as well.
I didn't realise that. So the actual oil that you cook with makes a difference to the feel of the food in your mouth?
Yes, I think, because some food can be quite dry if you don't use much oil, and a certain amount of oil is healthy for us as well.
Of course. So is that the kind of ingredient it's worth spending a little more to get something good quality?
I would say so, yes, and researching it as well, different oils for different functions.
Cool. Talk to us about protein. I think that's the parents are very conscious, aren't they, of making sure that growing children are getting enough protein. If they're not getting it from meat, how can we make sure our kids get enough protein?
Firstly, I think there's a myth that perhaps we need more protein than we really do. So again, it's sort of looking at the nutritional things and giving some thought to that. But also nuts, seeds, lots of leafy green vegetables, tofu is a really useful product to use in lots of different ways, and all these things are becoming much more easily available now in shops as well, not just the sort of specialist independent shops, the health food shops, but also in the supermarkets. So it's much easier when you're shopping to include some of these other ingredients.
And how about eggs and cheese? Are those good sources of protein?
Personally, I don't think so, but I know that some people would find those hard to give up. But again, there are substitutes coming onto the market now that taste very, very similar. And can be used in much the same way for cheese sauces and things, without, you know, involving the animals.
Cool. If people are looking for recipes, is there a good online source of recipes you'd recommend?
There's so many out there now online. I mean, I can spend ages just Googling and finding different recipes to play around with. Oshi Glows is a new one, that's very good. And there's a website called One Green Planet, which covers other environmental issues as well, not just recipes. And that has some very interesting things on.
Cool. And I've used the BBC Good Food one a lot and found some good stuff on there as well.
Yes, and there's magazines as well in the shops now. The vegetarian magazines are becoming much more mainstream and easily accessible, which is really good as well, because there's nothing better than sort of sitting and browsing a magazine sometimes.
Yes, just you stumble across something wonderful, don't you?
Yes.
And if our listeners want to come and try your cafe, tell us where you are and what your opening hours are.
I'm on the Hatfield Road between Beaumont School and Oaklands College, and that parade of shops there. My opening hours are Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday, 9 till 4. I'm closed Wednesday, because that's my day to do everything else. And then Saturday and Sundays, I'm open 10 till 4 and 11 till 3.
Brilliant. Thank you very much, Heather, for coming in and telling us about the Green Kitchen. After we're going to take a short break, and then after that we'll be looking at another really important environmental issue to do with food, which is food waste and food packaging, of which there always seems to be so much. And we'll be speaking to Louise Palmer from the council in just a second. Welcome back to the special edition of the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. I'm Lydia El-Khoury and I'm joined by Catherine Ross, who is from Transition Street, St Albans, and she's co-presenting with me this evening. So Catherine and myself are just about to have a chat with Louise Palmer from St Albans District Council, and she's on the phone. Louise, how are you?
I'm very well, thank you.
Thanks very much for joining us on the Parents Show this evening.
Okay.
So we've been talking about vegetarian food, we've been talking about reducing our carbon emissions from various aspects. Talk to us a little bit about waste. Food packaging seems to be everywhere. Every time I go shopping, you know, I'm back and forth from my recycling bin. How can people cut down on it?
Well, packaging isn't all bad. We really do need packaging for lots of reasons, and in fact the damage that packaging would do in landfill is far outweighed by the benefits it brings by protecting food in transport. And if we didn't use packaging, we'd probably end up throwing more food into landfill because it's damaged. And there's a lot of smart packaging that's been developed, especially films that are used to cover soft fruits, especially in the summer, so they ripen less quickly. So it gives you more of a chance to eat them. You don't have them all on the same day. So it is really important. But what you might have noticed over the last few years is packaging is actually reducing. Glass is much thinner than it ever used to be. Cardboard boxes, certainly your cereal packets, you might notice, quite flimsy almost these days, and plastics as well. And a lot of recycled content is being used in the packaging. For example, the paper and cardboard we collect from the curbside, that's all recycled back into cardboard packaging. So it's not all evil. I do understand what you're saying. There seems to be a lot of it, but we would probably be in a worse position without it.
And how about the dreaded plastic bags? What do you think people can do to avoid ending up with such a pile of them stuffed in a cupboard somewhere?
Well, I know it sounds very obvious, but take your bags with you when you go shopping. It takes a little while to get into the mindset of doing it, but once you start it and it is a habit, there's fantastic bags at the supermarket themselves of different strengths and materials. So it's worth, as soon as you've unpacked your shopping, fold the bags up, put them back in the back of your car or your bicycle. If you do forget and you've got a plastic bag, then at least reuse it, maybe as a bin liner or something. Or I think all supermarkets now have plastic bag recycling at their entrances. So, I mean, we do all forget every once in a while, but it's a really good habit to get into taking reusable bags with you.
I do, I have to say. I generally, occasionally I forget, and it really bugs me when I do,
yeah.
You know. And it's just so frustrating, but then I'm quite sneaky because there's a supermarket quite near where I live, and if I've brought them, then next time I go, I bring them, and I put them back,
yeah,
for the next person to use again. I think
you just have to remember to say, no, I don't want that bag,
yeah.
Because they're so ready to give them, yeah, to you. You have to be the one to say, no, I don't need that bag.
Yeah. It's a shame that, I mean, a lot of the European countries have banned plastic bags. They've put a charge on plastic bags. And where is the UK on that? Is it close to banning them, Catherine?
Last I heard, it was in the pipeline for 2016, so it is definitely on the table, absolutely.
Fantastic.
What services can taxpayers expect from the council in terms of our waste?
Well, okay, so the Waste and Recycling Department, we're actually a very small department, but we do cover a great deal, all the refuse and recycling across the district. We also offer a bulky collection service, got large items, you can't get to the household waste recycling site. We offer an assisted collection for people who can't get their containers to the boundary. We collect all the fly tipping. We sort out the abandoned vehicles. We do litter picks and support all the local litter picking groups, of which we have got some absolutely wonderful groups. So we're always very, very busy. It seems to be a growth department. We're lots going on. We also have the cloth nappy incentive scheme as well. So that's operated from our department.
Ooh, that sounds like something that would be really interesting to the parents with young children who are listening in. Tell us more about the nappy scheme.
Yeah, well, that's been in place for 10 years, and St Albans District Council rewards families using cloth nappies with £60, which is the equivalent of what we would pay to bury a ton of rubbish in landfill. And a baby will typically get through one ton of disposable nappies between birth and potty. So we try to encourage parents to use cloth nappies. Now, on the one hand, it's great because there is loads of information and different styles and types of nappies and fabrics that are now used. But on the downside, it's very confusing. There's too much information. So I do have 4 nappy kits that I loan out to parents. I'll go and visit them and show them how the different kits work, discuss the pros and cons, the washing and drying and what have you, and parents can borrow that kit for a week to 10 days to try them out, see if they get on with them and make an informed choice, and purchase with confidence if they go down that road.
I think that's a great idea, because I know I've got 3 children. With my first, the idea of cloth nappies just seems so overwhelming on top of everything else. But by the second and third, I was sort of ready to face it. And a friend showed me how to put them on and how to wash them. And actually, it wasn't nearly as complicated as I thought it was going to be.
Exactly.
It's great,
yeah,
if you can kind of make it less daunting for people by giving them the loan kit.
Yeah, I think because that's what happened for me as well. I was able to try some nappies and I suddenly realised actually the ones that looked nicest on the internet actually weren't the best for me, and I went with completely different type of nappy in the long run. And just having someone to give you a bit of support and advice really makes all the difference. As much as wonderful as the internet is, there's sometimes just too much information.
And I tried them, and exactly as you say, Louise, I mean, the ones that look the prettiest quite often actually aren't very effective. But
no.
I went and bought a bunch at an NCT sale because they were just very cheap, and tried, and they just didn't work. So being able to, so I had to buy another set, but being able to borrow them, I didn't know about the scheme at the time, is great, because different ones work differently for different kids. And I do think there's a difference between boys and girls as well, you know.
Oh,
I definitely
absolutely.
I had a much easier time with my daughter than I did with my son, you know.
Uh-huh. Oh, absolutely. So, I mean, if anyone's interested, they can just contact me in the council offices and we can arrange a date. I can bring the kit round and, as I say, just I spend half an hour or so just going through how the nappies work. And then it's down to the parents just to have a go, see which ones fit nicely, the washing, the drying, what suits the baby, the lifestyle. Or if it's not for them, it's not for them. But at least they can say, well, I had a go and I know.
And there can also be a middle ground, can't there? We settled to using them in the daytime and using disposables at night when we
sure.
wanted to be sure, you know, the kids were dry all night. So you don't have to be all or nothing.
Absolutely, yeah. And there's plenty of people that do that. That's yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, every nappy you save is a great thing, isn't it? You know.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Brilliant.
What's the biggest source of waste for the council?
Well, it is still landfill waste. It's just the rubbish that we're collecting from the bins. Although we're at sort of 50% recycling, I would love to see the day when we are collecting more for recycling than burying in landfill. But we did a waste composition analysis quite recently where the contents of some black bins were sorted through, and what we found was actually there's still an awful lot of food waste going in the black bins. In fact, 76% of food waste still ends up in the black bins going to landfill, and an awful lot of that food waste is preventable food waste. So that's quite sad, really, and we would really love to encourage families to use their green bin for food waste, where it can at least be composted down and recycled that way. But there's a fantastic website, Love Food, Hate Waste, and there are so many tips on how to shop and store your food, to use leftovers. There are recipes galore. It's such an inspirational website. I would really recommend that people have a little look, because I think we all waste more food than we would like to admit.
Because don't they estimate that the average family could save something like £600 a year if they reduce their food waste?
Yeah, and I think that's right. Since the end of last year, I've been doing a really sort of rigid menu for the following week and buying only exactly what we need for that. And I can say without a shadow of a doubt, our food bill was almost halved, I'd say. There's no waste. I throw nothing out, but I have to be quite rigid about it. But yeah, I would back that up completely. We've saved a lot of money by making the menu for the following week and just buying what we need.
And the thing I do is as I unpack the shopping, I just have a bit of paper on the fridge and I write down when the key ingredients are going to go off. So it'll say, you know, fish fingers, eat by Friday, chicken, eat by Tuesday, whatever. And then when I rush in and I've come to make a meal, I can look down and say, oh, I have to eat that one today or it'll go off.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I put stickers on my food and it says Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. So if my husband gets home before me, he thinks, oh, what's Wednesday? Oh, right, I know. It's all labelled for him in the fridge.
that you two ladies are seriously organised. I cannot even compare. That's very impressive. Very impressive. That's fantastic. Thanks so much, Louise, for joining us and for sharing those tips with us. And it's great to know that somebody like you, who's so passionate about waste, is working in the council and doing such a great job to motivate people to reduce carbon footprints. It's fantastic.
Oh, that's lovely. Well, thanks ever so much for having me. And just encourage people, do think about everything before you throw it away. Can you recycle it? And if you need more boxes, please give us a call at the council and we can sort out, get some more delivered to you.
Great stuff. Thanks a million.
Thanks. All right, thanks.
All
bye for
best.
Now.
Welcome back to the green edition of the Parents Show on Radio Verulam 92.6 FM. And my co-presenter this evening is Catherine Ross from Transition Streets. So you're not learning a lot, Catherine. You know this stuff, but I'm learning stacks, I can tell you.
There's always so much more to learn on all of these subjects.
Absolutely, absolutely. Especially for somebody like me, I can tell you. Now, next up on the Parents Show, we're going to talk to Katie Carr, and she's from a company called Tommy and Lottie that she started herself. And her clothing is sustainable and ethical, and we'd love to hear a little bit more about it. How are you, Katie?
I'm really well, thank you. How are you?
Good. Thanks for joining us on the Parents Show.
Thanks for inviting me.
Now, tell us a bit about Tommy and Lottie.
Yeah, Tommy and Lottie is a British baby's clothing brand, and we pride ourselves in producing luxury, good quality, 100% cotton T-shirts, and they're all made in an ethical and sustainable place.
Fantastic. And what? Tell us a bit about the sustainability and ethical credentials. What does that stem from?
I mean, we're ethical because our T-shirts are made in a factory where the local community is employed to work there. The staff are paid a good fair wage, and there's excellent working conditions. There's no forced labour or unfair treatment, and there's definitely no child labour. They're also given jobs. They're not just given jobs, but they're also taught skills, allowing them to get themselves out of poverty. And what makes us sustainable is the cotton is grown near to the factory, and the T-shirts are bought by ship and not by air, which helps towards the carbon footprint.
That's really great to hear, and from a sustainability point of view as well, your clothes are made to last, aren't they? They should see more than one child through.
That's right. I mean, and also I like to add that they're unisex, which is even better. So it, you know, you can hand it down to the next child, whether it's a boy or girl, and they're luxury, so they wash well. The quality is excellent, so they're built to last.
And what motivated you to set up your business?
I wanted to start a business not only to fit around my children's lives, obviously they're Tommy and Lottie because it's named after my two children, but I'm so passionate about giving something back to the world and also creating opportunities for others in both young and old in employment. And I wanted to make sure that we produce good quality products and knowing that they come from an honest source and place. And because they're good quality, they can be handed down to other babies. And so the recycle part is important. And because they're unisex, this helps even more.
And there's a lot less chemicals used in the production of the cotton in your T-shirts, isn't there, than in a standard one?
Yes. They are certified Okotex, which is a certification where no harmful chemicals or substances are used at all in any of the production. So if a baby was to chew on the fabric, they wouldn't get it. There's no harmful toxins at all. This is very recognised in sort of more Scandinavian countries, and it's starting to come through more in the UK. But it's quite an important part to the, you know, the whole message.
Wonderful. And we've got to say congratulations to you on your award from The Guardian for being Startup of the Year.
Yes, thank you very much.
What do you think won Tommy and Lottie the award? What made you stand out?
Well, I was shocked to begin with because so many people enter. I think there's a few things. The number of stockists that we've got in such a short space of time because we're under a year old. The ethical and sustainable manufacturing, I think, is such a key focus, and it should be for all businesses. And also the exciting animation, I can't wait to see the finished thing, with the students from Oakland College in St Albans who are working on an animation for us to show the customer why our product is ethical and sustainable from crop to customer. Because let's face it, these are tomorrow's entrepreneurs.
Wonderful. And if people are interested in having a look at your products, how would they find you?
If you go onto our website at www.tommyandlottie.com, you can look at all of our range and you can buy off our website.
Brilliant. Thanks, Katie. Thanks so much for coming in. It's great to hear about practical choices that parents can make to buy really lovely, locally made things for their children that last and are a bit kinder to the environment.
Thank you very much for having me.
Brilliant. And we've popped your website on our Facebook page for any of our listeners.
That's brilliant.
Thanks a million, Katie.
Thank you. Take care.
All the best.
Bye-bye.
Now, we're coming towards the end of our show, Catherine. So we've heard a lot of practical ideas. I like the idea of buying like unisex clothing. I have to say that I know it's really obvious, but I wouldn't have thought of doing that. And it's a great push, because obviously there's a lot less demand than if the same clothing is provided both, you know.
Yeah, for those of us who've had children of both genders, yeah, it makes a real difference.
Absolutely, it's a great idea. And so what do you think now, after all the information that we've heard, what's your last bits of advice?
Well, I think the thing to take away is that there's lots of small changes a typical family can make which will cut their impact on their environment and which will add up. And a lot of the small changes you can make will also save you money on your household bills. So big things to people to focus on: flying, driving, household energy. But also, as we've been hearing about tonight, there's a lot that you can do with food, and there's a lot you can do about the stuff that you buy your kids. And those are nice ones to focus on first, because it's quite easy to make small changes. You know, Meat Free Monday, it's a really practical thing you could just get on and start next week. Trying to look for more sustainably produced clothes. These are practical things that people can do quickly. Stick one of those, you know, a plastic bag in your handbag or your bag, so that when you go out tomorrow you don't end up getting one from a shop. They're not big complicated things. And what I'd say to everyone is just make a start. Pick one thing, make it sustainable, pick one more thing and keep going.
Great. And tell us about Transition Streets. Tell us the concept of what you want people to be doing.
Our Transition Streets is a lovely project your listeners can get involved with. It's run by Transition St Albans, where you get groups of your neighbours together and then they meet 7 times. Each time you pick an environmental topic, and we give people all the information that they need. So it's a little bit like joining a book group, except that you're discussing how to cut your carbon footprint and how to cut your household bills.
It's a fantastic idea, and I'm sure communities, it's a great excuse to get to know your neighbours and talk about issues that really matter, and kind of, you don't need to be an expert to do it, right?
No, not at all. We give people an information book that gives them all the information they need. So all you need to do is get together a group of your neighbours and then you can get started. We've had 19 groups already run across St Albans and District, and the feedback from them has been brilliant. People have made changes, they've had fun, and they've saved money.
Great. And just tell us the email address if anybody wants to set one up.
They can email me on streets@transitionstalbans.org or go onto our website, transitionstalbans.org.
Great. And that's up on our Facebook page as well. Catherine Ross from Transition Streets, thanks a million for joining us on the Parents Show.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
All the best.
Neave Solicitors are proud to sponsor the Parent Show. The friendly team at Neave's includes specialists who can guide you through all the legal ups and downs of family life. Visit nevesolicitors.co.uk. Neave Solicitors, your complete legal solution.